Today we're going to talk about something that some folks may find a little different for this podcast. However, a lot of us enjoy camping and exploring the outdoors, and a lot of us enjoy reading books. I would enjoy reading when sitting around the campfire. So today, I'm going to list off some of the best camping or exploring books by Canadian authors. I'll put the links in the show notes, so remember to check them out. First off is a friend of mine, Frank Ritzy, and his book, Tigers, Tumbleweeds, and Trauma, Tales from a Free-Range, Almost Feral Childhood. Honestly, it's not a book about exploring the world, but it's a book about growing up at the edge of Wells Gray Park in BC and later on in Kamloops in the 60s. Those that know Frank love his wit and sense of humor, and his book is an extension of this. His storytelling is legendary around the outdoor community in BC, and I often find myself laughing while reading his book. Downhill sleigh rides, learning how to swim by being dunked, dynamite, countless animal encounters, a Pontiac GTO, and the Idita bike, an ultra-marathon mountain bike ride through the middle of Alaska in the winter. Trust me, you'll love this book. The Badeau Expedition was an attempt by an eccentric French millionaire, Charles Badeau, to cross the wilderness from Edmonton to the Pacific Ocean while making a film, testing Citroën half-track vehicles, and generating publicity for, well, himself. Bannock and Beans tells the story of this extravagant failure from the perspective of one of the cowboys, Bob White, who worked on Badeau's team. Badeau set off on this unusual excursion, accompanied by more than 100 people, including his wife, his mistress, who was also an Italian countess, and an Academy Award-winning film director from Hollywood, Floyd Crosby. Also along for the trip were several dozen Alberta cowboys and a large film crew. To map the route of the expedition, the Canadian government sent along two geographers. The expedition started off at Edmonton on July 6, 1934, and their goal was to travel 1,500 miles to Telegraph Creek in BC. Much of the trip would have been made through regions that were relatively uncharted and had no trails, not to mention proper roads. Despite poor weather and poor road conditions, they made good progress, and by July 12th, they left Grand Prairie, and on the 17th, were in British Columbia on a trail from Taylor to Fort St. John. The party stayed in Fort St. John until the 22nd, purchasing supplies and repairing the Citroëns, and hiring more cowboys and attending fancy banquets. By then, Badeau had come to the decision that the expedition had to become more newsworthy than it already was, and he fired his radio operator and announced that the party would continue without a raid. Furthermore, he decided that the Citroën half-tracks were expendable and would create a bigger sensation if they're destroyed on the film rather than simply making the trip intact. In August, two of the Citroëns were pushed over a 300-foot cliff near Halfway River, and a third was floated downriver for an explosion scene where dynamite would blow huge rocks onto the half-track vehicle. The dynamite never caught, and the vehicle would end up on a sandbar. Nevertheless, Badeau's plan worked, and Canadian and American newspapers carried the news that three of the cars had been lost, and some of the expedition members had barely escaped death in those terrible accidents. The party was praised for its bravery and determination to continue on despite this terrible setback. I guess you could say it was the early days of overlanding on YouTube. By mid-September, the papers were reporting that the expedition would reach its destination in October. But when the expedition arrived at Whitewater Pass, Frank Swanell, one of the very few men who knew northern British Columbia well enough to be considered an expert, advised Badeau against traveling farther through the snow-covered mountain passes. His advice was proven well-founded when the party's horses started to die of diseases, and a rope simply proved too hard to continue. On October 17th, the Edmonton Journal reported that the party was turning back. The party reached Hudson's Hope after nearly 4 months in the wilderness, and a party was thrown in honor of the near achievement, a party which turned out to be one of the biggest celebrations the town had ever thrown. The title of Bannock and Beans plays into the difference between Badeau and his hired help. Badeau and the rest of the elite drank champagne while the cowboys ate, well, Bannock and Beans. On a side note, there's only one of the Citroëns left. It was found, restored, and currently sits at Reynolds Museum in Wetaskiwin, Alberta. Colin Angus from Vancouver Island was the author that got me hooked on exploration books years ago. He has 4 books out about exploring the world. His first book, Lost in Mongolia, was about traversing the Venice River in Asia from tip to the ocean. His second book, Amazon Extreme, was what got me hooked and was about his first grand adventure. Him and 2 buddies went to the very droplets of water at the beginning of the Amazon and rafted from the start out to the ocean. His third book, I would call one of his best, probably his best. It's called Beyond the Horizon, and is about the world record trip around the world. He became the first person to circumvent the world by human power. This meant either walking or biking on land and rowing across 2 oceans. Yeah, dude rode across 2 oceans, biked in Siberia in the winter, and traveled 43,000 miles by human power. The last book is a road trip where him and his wife Julia biked and rode from Scotland to Syria. Adam Schultz was recommended to me by Doug from Pine Tree Line in our number 4 episode, declared to be one of the greatest living explorers by Canadian Geographic, and named Canada's Indiana Jones by the Toronto Star. Adam Schultz is a professional adventurer and the author of 4 national best-selling books. His book, Beyond the Trees, is an incredible story of Adam's nearly 4,000-kilometer solo journey across Canada's Arctic. It was number 1 bestseller on Amazon and voted the best book of the year by Indigo. I've not read his other 3 books, but they're on my list, you know, if anybody wants to send me one. To Dakar and Back is a book by Lawrence Hacking from Ontario about racing and finishing Paris to Dakar rally on his motorcycle. It's been a number of years since I've read the book, and it looks like it may be a little harder to find copies of. However, it's an awesome read even for non-motorbike guys like myself. Little known fact is that I handled all Lawrence's social media during his 2010 South American Dakar attempt in a Mason Trophy truck. Sid Marty is an incredible storyteller. He spent many years as a park warden in national parks in the Rocky Mountains. His Men of Mountains book is the only one I've read, although he does have 2 others out there. If they're anything like Men for Mountains, it's worth a read. Have you ever heard of John Clark? He was a British Columbia mountaineer who spent many years ascending nameless peaks in the coastal mountain range. It's believed that he explored more virgin territory and racked more first ascents in BC than any other climber. His reputation spread and grew to legendary proportions, not just owing to the scale of his achievements, but because of the way he carried them out. He traveled light and scorned technology, wearing cotton long johns and eating homemade granola. He was a popular lecturer and later dedicated his life to environmental education before his passing in 2003. Lisa Bale wrote a book called John Clark, Explorer of the Coast Mountains. It covers his remarkable life from the beginning to the end, examining Clark through his own words and pictures, as well as the words of his many friends. Let's talk about camping cookbooks. I've seen these 2, but I've not purchased them yet. Both of them are stacked with healthy and fun camping recipes. Think gin and tonic kebabs, and mush and quinoa salad, different variations of bannock, apple, cranberry, crisp, and more. The first book is called The New Trailside Cookbook, 100 Delicious Recipes for the Camp Chef. It's written by canoe enthusiast Kevin Callan and food nutritionist consultant Margaret Howard. The second book is called Rocky Mountain Cooking, Recipes to Bring Canada's Backcountry Home. It's a hardcover book written by Katie Mitzel. Seriously, this book can also be used as one of those fancy coffee book tables. The combination of incredible wildlife and food photos is stunning. One viewer commented that they do not normally buy a cookbook for wildlife photographs, but this is one exception. Personally, I have to admit that all the recipes look equally appealing as the photos. These next books are no longer in print, but are true treasures. From the 70s to the early 90s, there's a bunch of different books about back roads throughout BC. They had rough hand-drawn maps, but they're kind of precise. There was 2 main authors that really did a lot of these books, Richard Wright and Murphy Shuchuk. They have a lot of different names to them. There is the Lower Mainland Back Road series. You know, I've got volume 3 in front of me called the Junction Country, Boston Bar to Clinton. There's the Back Roads Explorer books, by Murphy Schuchek. There's Thompson Caribou. There's a few other ones. There's a Backward Adventures Through the Interior, British Columbia. Logging Road Travel, Volume 1, Victoria to Campbell Creek. Okanagan Backroads by Dave Stewart, North Okanagan and Shuswap. Backroads of the Central and Northern British Columbia. Exploring the Nicola Valley by Murphy Schuchek again. There's Backroads Southwestern British Columbia by John Donaldson Yarmy. And there's also Mark Bostwick. He wrote a series of books, I'm going to say, in the 90s, I believe. This one here is Four Wheeling in the BC Interior, Kootenays to Bella Coola. And I may be wrong on this, but I believe that he was involved in one of the companies that did some VHS videos before the YouTube days of exploring. All the books have, like I say, these little hand-drawn maps, but they really bring a lot of history to all the books. You know, take example this one with Murphy Schuchek for the Thompson Caribou. Here's the Big Bar Ferry Road, the Big Bar School, kilometer 1.4. A little paragraph about the history of the ferry. There's the High Bar Road, kilometer 0.6. And it just goes along. Now, obviously, these books were made in the 70s and 80s, and the kilometer markings are different. Some of these roads may not even be there anymore. But I found that there's so much history in these books that if I'm going to an area, I'll actually check these books out and try and find some of those old trails and try and find some of the history that they're talking about. Don't be scared to hop into a used bookstore and look for some of these old books. I know I've sent some down to Adam at Adam's Off-Road down to the coast. He's enjoyed some of them as well. And I know a lot of guys have these sitting on their bookshelves. Again, check them out, used bookstores. There's all kinds of these older exploring books. And this is the way we had to do it before YouTube came along, before Instagram came along, and social media for that matter too, right? So you'd spend hours reading through these books and you'd be going over maps and Forest Service maps. And it's really neat to see a piece of history on that. So these last two books are not Canadian in any way, but I'm going to mention them because their authors are American friends of mine, and I think you'd enjoy them. Todd Zerker, I really hope that I didn't kill your name, Todd, but Todd Zerker is a well-known Ford Bronco expert. His 69 Broncos traveled all over the trails in the Southwest, and he, along with Andrew Norton, restored a Strop-built racing Bronco that Larry Miner and Rod Hall raced. His book is titled Ford Bronco, A History of Ford's Legendary 4x4. The book is a ton of technical data, but also many never-published photos and interviews with people that were integral to the Bronco's success. Again, that's Todd, T-O-D-D, and last name is Z-U-E-R-C-H-U-R. John Elkin has written a book called Bronco Racing, Ford's Legendary 4x4 in Off-Road Competition. John spent many years interviewing off-road racers and compiling information. There's 176 pages of interviews with Parnelli Jones, Rod Hall, Larry Miner, James Garner, Don Bartle, James Duff, Bill Rush, Roy Harvick, and Bill Strop, among others. And then there's the photos. There's so many unseen photos in there. So there you have it. Some of my favorite, mostly Canadian books. What do you think? What's your favorite Canadian author? Did I miss any? Let me know on Instagram and Facebook, and remember to review the podcast on your app. It helps us reach other people with the same interests as you.